Aren't we blessed today? Amen. We are so blessed. Give the Lord praise this morning. Hallelujah. We give you praise this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate that so much. Thank you for helping me. I want you to take your Bible this morning to Joel and chapter 1. I have a very momentous task here today. I feel the call of God upon this message like rarely I've ever felt before in the history of 30 years of preaching. And so I want to deliver this word with as much accuracy as I possibly can. And so I covet your prayers. Joel chapter 1, we want to begin looking at the scripture, verse 15 to 20. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. And it shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Is not the food cut off before our eyes? And joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed shrivels under the clod, storehouses are in shambles, barns are broken down, for the grain has withered. How the animals groan, the herds of cattle are restless because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep suffer punishment. O Lord, to you I cry out, for fire has devoured the open pastures, and a flame has burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field also cry out to you, for the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the open pastures. I'd like to share this confession with you this morning, and you can remain seated to declare it with me. But I want you to lift your voice up and make this proclamation from your heart. For I believe the days ahead are very challenging for this earth. But because we are in Christ, we dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Amen? Say it with me right now. I believe I dwell in the secret of the Most High. Therefore, I shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place hides me from all harm. The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or be terrified, for God is with me, and I am with God. Look over at somebody and say, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Hallelujah. In the previous verses of the book of Joel, the prophet began to speak of a coming judgment upon the nation. We read earlier of how this judgment would be seen, first of all, in the natural. It would come with locusts, the caterpillars, the swarming locusts, etc. And it would devastate, literally, the whole entire economy of the nation. But the prophet Joel also spoke of a coming devastation in which he made reference to the nation of Assyria. Now, Assyria, in four different waves of attack, just like the locusts' four waves of attack, would come in and sweep Israel and clean her spoil totally out. We see those particular historical events taking place in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7 through 9 or through 20. And perhaps one of the most famous you remember is Sennacherib, one of the kings of Assyria who devastated Israel. But just as the Lord had said through the prophet Joel, that the Assyrians will come and devastate the nation. And prior to that event taking place, it was proclaimed as thus saith the Lord. I think we have to gain a new appreciation for thus saith the Lord again in our generation. For when God speaks, he doesn't stutter. For when God proclaims, he doesn't change his mind. And the book of Joel prophesied that this would occur. And occurred, it did. We see that it is the basis of our faith as Christians today in this modern world that what God has said, He will perform. So ladies and gentlemen, this prophetic word of Joel not only pertained to the present of Israel's condition with the locusts invasion, not only for that soon invasion of the Assyrian, but now in verse 15 to 20, we see a key phrase in this particular text that I believe puts its finger and its mark in the generation in which you and I live. It's called the day of the Lord. Say that with me. The day of the Lord. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I want every one of us to have great faith today. Because what I'm about to share with you, if we don't operate in faith, can bring dismay. It can bring discouragement. It could bring fear. And that's why I wrote that particular confession that I live in the shelter of the Most High. And I fear no evil. Because you and I have to understand that we are people of covenant. And we are the remnant in the earth today. We are the salt of this nation. And I believe America is blessed today, not only because it blesses Israel in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, but because of a people who are called by His name, who declare His glory, and because we are the salt and we pray for this nation. That's why prayer is so vital and important to the strength and the ongoing continuance of this nation and its power and its ability to bless the nations of the earth. It is as a result of God's people within that nation, the remnant within the nation, praying for the nation and the world. So we realize that this message will bring great faith to our hearts. But if you're watching news and the current events, I don't have to tell you and somehow reiterate all that's being spoken. But let me just remind you, we're living in an era today that is unlike and unparalleled to any other time and era that we've ever lived. Since 1948, when Israel became a nation, it was the beginning of that fig tree blossoming. It was, again, a sign of Scripture that there would be a gathering, an ingathering of God's people from all over the world, and they would, again, locate there in the nation of Israel. Today, Israel has been involved with war after war after war. And up to this point, we have seen and tried to understand some of the problems that Israel was facing. We realized, well, the Palestinians wanted some land and they wanted to have their own state. And I guess that's what the problem has been. But never before have we been hearing what we're hearing today. And that is the Palestinian Charter reads and calls for the total annihilation and the total destruction of Israel. They don't want to debate. They don't want to compromise. They don't just want a portion. They want the entire state of Israel wiped off the face of the map. You say, well, gee, okay, Palestinians, how powerful can they be? Let me remind you as well, the president of Iran has gone on record as of recent and as of even historically, has declared that Iran will not settle until Israel is completely destroyed and wiped off the face of the map. You say, well, okay, that's only two nations. This week, the reports on the news were from Jakarta, Indonesia. The rioting and the marching within that nation are calling for the complete destruction and annihilation of Israel. You say, okay, that's only three. In the Philippines, there were great marches on the streets. Muslims have gathered in support of the Hezbollah, of the front in Lebanon, and are declaring and calling for the complete annihilation and the destruction of Israel. You say, well, gee, that's quite a bit. Well, wait, there's more. In Istanbul, they are calling for the very same thing. And you say, well, at least they're not doing it in Iraq. I mean, they like us now, right? No, there were near 15 to 20,000 Muslim Shiites that had gathered together in the city of Baghdad and were calling for one thing, the destruction and annihilation of Israel and America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a time that has been never seen before on this earth. And we as God's people, God has raised you and me up at the time such as this for this purpose, that we understand it's not by chance you were born in this time or you live in this era. It's not the time for us to live in fear and wonder what's going to happen, but it's a time for us to embrace the word of the Lord and become proactive in our faith and make a difference in the world. How many believe that the righteous remnant of God can make a difference in this world? Now, I want you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, or if you don't have a Bible, follow on the screen. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Paul's writing to the Thessalonians and saying to them, don't be shaken in your mind. Don't get disturbed. Don't become fearful, as if the day of Christ has already occurred. You see, the day of Christ and the day of the Lord in Joel chapter 1 are one and the same event. So for us to understand the prophecy of Joel in chapters 15 to 20, we've got to get into the New Testament in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Let's continue to read. The scripture says, let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who we would call the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, I want you to notice something in verse 2. The day of Christ. Joel chapter 1, verse 15. The day of the Lord. They are one in the same. Take special note of verse 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It mentions the coming of the Lord. Now, do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Everybody say the brightness of his coming. Now, notice in verse 1, the coming of Jesus. Say that with me, the coming of Jesus. Verse 8, the brightness of his coming. Say the brightness of his coming. So we have the coming of Jesus and we have the brightness of the coming of Christ. They are two distinct, different events. Now, what we understand by that is in the first coming, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 17 that the Lord will come in the air. The Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we be forevermore. That is the coming of Jesus, or what we have termed as the rapture. Notice that the rapture takes place before the brightness of his coming. So what is the brightness of his coming? And why the terminology brightness? Because it has to do with the day of the Lord that Joel prophesied thousands of years earlier in Joel chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. He comes in his first coming in verse 1. He comes back for his saints. If you're taking notes, you want to write down for and underline it. His second coming, he comes back with his saints. Underline with. So the first coming in verse 1 is for. In verse 8, it's with. So now we understand there are two distinct comings of our Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's something interesting we find in 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. Here's what the Bible says about that coming. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I want you to notice and kind of focus in on the words, in a moment. In a moment, or the twinkling of an eye, comes from a Greek word, atomos. It's A-T-O-M-O-S, of which we derive our English word, atom. Now, we're not talking about great explosive power here in the Greek. Here's what it actually means. Indivisible. A moment of time so fast it cannot be further divided. You may have heard people say a split second. Well, in a moment means it's a portion of time that can no longer be divided. That's how the coming of the Lord in verse 1 will take place. The second coming, of course, comes back with his saints. He sets foot on the earth, all eyes will see him, and he will ultimately, at the brightnesses of his coming, destroy the Antichrist and those that have gathered together in what we call the Valley of Megiddo, or the Valley of Jehoshaphat, or the Bible talks about the Valley of Decision. It is in that place. If we would have gone to Israel this year, although we can't do that this year, you would have went with me to Mount Carmel and there see Megiddo. You would have seen the Valley of Armageddon, of where the nations will gather together to fight against Israel and God himself. And at that moment, Christ will return again. And when he comes, he'll come with his saints. Everybody say, that's me.
That's me.
We're going to make a grand entrance. I'm going to see you know that right now. And when we come back, the brightness of his appearing is very important. And I want you to think about that with me for a moment. Now, in the Middle East right now, what we need is a peacekeeper or a peacemaker. The world knows that. Condoleezza Rice is doing her very best, flying from Damascus, then to Beirut and back down to Jerusalem and back to Washington. And the UN today announced last night that they think they've got a ceasefire figured out. Let me just tell you, they don't have it figured out. Condoleezza Rice, a beautiful woman, very intelligent, she doesn't have it figured out. But the Bible tells us this, that within the European Union, the Bible refers to as the West, Europe is part of the West, there will arise a leader. We call him the Antichrist. And he will offer peace solutions. And he will make a peace pact with Israel. And in the middle of that peace pact, will enter into the temple of God and declare himself as God and turn on Israel. You say, well, Pastor, where will we be when all that's taking place? I pray you'll be on the north side under the pavilion marked North Coast up in glory. That's where I pray that you will be. However, only time will tell. We see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. My question to us this morning is, when is then? When is then? I believe when is here. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have read that scripture, the falling away, and many preachers and theologians have declared that particular scripture means there's going to be a great apostasy of God's people prior to the coming of the Lord. Now, many of you have probably heard that taught. You probably believe that. I'm going to challenge you with that today. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for this reason. If you understand the falling away terminology, it comes from a Greek word, apostasia, meaning separation. Now, we do get our word apostasy Or the falling away, if you will, of those who serve God and then no longer serve God. Are we seeing that in the kingdom today? Of course. Are we seeing it any more today than we did 10 years ago? I don't think so. I think today people's hearts are either growing cold or people's hearts are growing hot for God. And there's no middle ground. They're either in or you're not in. Now, if you're in the middle ground, you won't last long. You'll either have to be converted and become a radical believer for Christ, or you'll eventually drift away from church and go back to the world. Let me just prophesy to some of you today. If you're marginally serving the Lord, you'll have a choice. Not many days from now, you'll either begin to make a decision to get right with God and begin to serve Him with all fervor and really be serious about the Lord, get your house in order, and get close to God, or you will begin to drift away, and it'll be something you used to do. You used to go to church. You used to serve. I used to do that, but I don't do it anymore. And there'll be a growing number of people that will be doing that as well, and you'll find comfort and counsel together. Okay? But that's not what the Bible's talking about here. What the Bible's talking about in regards to falling away, I believe, is this, that there will be a separation from the earth of God's people before the son of perdition or the Antichrist can be revealed. In other words, until the church is raptured, the Antichrist can't move into power. Now, I just want you to know how powerful you are this morning. I want you to know what your presence does to evil spirits. I want you to know that when you walk, and many times I've done this when we were in Haiti, I walked right into witch doctors' huts. I walked right into those that had chickens hanging from the ceiling and they were doing incantations. And yes, we felt an evil presence, but greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I remember talking about Jesus and talking about the power of God and the blood of Christ and pleading with the man, the witch doctor, to be born again and to be saved. And they didn't want to be saved. But you know what? I wasn't intimidated by the presence of evil. I want you to know this morning, evil is intimidated by you. And so we see in the scripture very clearly that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, that let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. Let's read it this way. For that day will not come unless the separation comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. See, I believe that we as Christ's church on the earth hold the nations together. I believe right now, as salt and as light in this earth, we are holding the economy together. Let me say this. The Antichrist cannot be revealed until we are gone. So if you're looking now or you're hearing on the news, people are asking, is the president of Iran the Antichrist? No, he's not. You say, well, is it George Bush? No, it's not. Is it Bill Clinton? No, it's not him either. You say, well, who is it? You know what? We really don't know, and really, quite frankly, I don't care. Because when he is revealed, I'm not going to be here anyway, and neither will you. Now, the point being, though, that while we are on the earth, we are a force. And that's what you and I have to begin to exert our authority and power on the earth through our prayers, through our calling those things that are not as though they are, through our stand for righteousness, we are holding back the onslaught of evil. I believe that the church in America is America's only hope. I believe the church on the earth is the earth's only hope. And that you and I carry such authority. The Bible says in Matthew 18 that if two agree touching anything, it shall be done. See, we have agreement power. We have the ability to bind on earth, and it's bound in heaven. We have the ability to loose on earth, and it's loosed in heaven. See, this is where God is looking for a remnant to begin to operate in the true call of God upon the church. See, it's not just to have chicken dinners. It's not just to have Sunday school classes. It's not just to get a Sunday school pin. It's not just to hear another sermon. It's not just to go to the ladies' auxiliary meeting and knit something so you can send it to the missionary, which is wonderful and fine things to do. However, God has called His people, a righteous remnant on the earth, to bind and to loose and to restrain evil and to allow the dominion of Christ to come to the earth once again. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, if you'll turn there with me, chapter 4. 2 Thessalonians. And chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. Verses 16 and 17. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You and I do not have to be discomforted in this time of turmoil in the Middle East. You and I do not have to be discomforted over the world events and the threats by world leaders, because we have the promise of God's word and we know what God is going to do. Now, let me just say this, a few points that I agree that this is our last month's book of the month or the month before. I can't remember. John Hagee, Jerusalem Countdown. How many have read this book? If you haven't, every person in this room should get this book and read it. And we have it at the bookstore. Say, why should I read this book? Because this book gives you documentation of world events and current events. It also gives you statements by Pastor Hagee, of which he believed was going to take place when he wrote this book in 2005, that have already come to pass in 2006. It's exciting reading. It gives you understanding, and it'll also put the fear of God in your life. So I believe this is a very, very vital tool. Here's some of the excerpts from some of the things that John Hagee has to say in his book. He says that the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, if that's how you say his name, has vowed for the destruction of Israel. Although he himself denies it, he is a former terrorist who has risen to power and been elected as a president of the nation. Palestinian charter includes the destruction of Israel. You see, here's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. We're at a time point in history where the escalation between Israel and Lebanon, or the Hezbollah, Lebanon's inability to keep its own state secure, Hezbollah, which is financed and supported with Iran and Syria, the weapons caches are coming through Syria into Lebanon that are supporting the Hezbollah, who are firing over 200 and some missiles or rockets into northern Israel and 28 miles north of Tel Aviv. Let me just say this, an analyst declared, if the Hezbollah hit Tel Aviv, Israel will retaliate immediately against Iran and Syria for their own preservation and protection. You say, well, why is that important to know? We also know that Iran has been in the news. Why? Because they are developing nuclear power. Now, they're not claiming to be developing nuclear weapons, but nuclear power. You say, well, how can they develop nuclear power? Now, all the authorities back in 2005, when this book was written, Jerusalem Countdown, said this, that Iran will have a nuclear weapon within 12 to 18 months. They're also having interviews of those that are in Israel, as well as our military analysts and generals, who have said that Iran will possess nuclear capability somewhere between the months of April and October of 2006. I just want to remind you, this is August. And ladies and gentlemen, we are on the brink of Iran, which who could already today, as we sit here, possess at least one nuclear warhead, an atomic bomb that could be launched towards Israel. You say, well, that's Israel, that's not us. The Bible does too, and I'll show you that in a minute if I have time today. Jeez. Anyway, The scriptures tell us that in the last day, America is really not known in the scripture. They're talked about the lion and the young lion, which is talking about Britain and more than likely America. And that's the only reference in Zechariah that we have to America. So what is America's end? We know today that there are what we call sleeper cells all across the United States of America. These sleeper cells, some of them by Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas, and other terrorist groups, have been in America now for some 20, 25 years. They very well might be your neighbor, somebody that you work with. Now, I'm not trying to stereotype people, and I'm not trying to put fear into you, but I am trying to say this. Analysts say this, it's not if America will be hit with nuclear weaponry, it's when. When meaning simply this, the suitcase nuclear bombs which can destroy and kill and annihilate 1 million people with one explosion in the city of New York would absolutely devastate America. But here's what analysts are saying. If Israel does a preemptive strike against Iran, which it has no choice, if Iran develops a nuclear weapon, Israel is going to have to do a preemptive strike or suffer annihilation themselves. If they attack Iran, Iran will pull the trigger, and not only will we see retaliation against Israel, but in America there will be sleeper cells awakening, and there will be multiple Katrina attacks all across our nation. Now, Iran has already vowed that it will take out three major cities, Paris, London, and New York, simultaneously. Not only that, but they have developed a weapon that you probably have not heard of. I've not been that familiar with it as well. It's called an EMP, electromagnetic pulse blanket. You say, well, what is that? You know, electromagnetic pulse blanket is simply a warhead filled with plutonium. Plutonium, when exploded, releases what we call gamma rays. Now, this particular warhead can be launched by a Scud missile. Remember back in the war of 1990-91 when Baghdad was offering Scud missiles to Israel, and they were, you know, they would just land in the ground and go thud. Scuds were thuds. But this Scud missile can deliver this particular bomb filled with plutonium, which when exploded emits gamma rays. And gamma rays do not destroy or kill people. What do gamma rays do? They kill and destroy electrons, meaning that in 60 seconds or less, America could be without electrical power for months or even years with one explosion. Now, let me just ask this question. How would you live your life if there were no electricity? What food would you purchase at what grocery? How long would your food last in your refrigerator? Where would you buy gas? Could you go to an ATM and withdraw money? What would you do for heat? In 1 second, a superpower called America would be thrust back into the 19th century with horses and buggies and candles. And if electricity were to be wiped out in America, we would be rendered literally helpless. No computers. You say, well, who has this technology? It is said today by our sources in America and Israel that the Arab League, many of these nations, already possess these EMPs. You say, well, what if that were to occur? What is going to happen? Listen to this. August 10, 2005, BBC News, the UK edition, called Russia Iran's main partner in its effort to develop nuclear power. Iran is not functioning on their own. As a matter of fact, a nuclear physicist has been already interrogated and has admitted that he has been sent from Russia to Iran to help them develop their nuclear program. Already we understand that you can purchase on the market for about $100,000 long-range and short-range missiles from Russia and the former Soviet Union. For about $100,000, you can purchase a long-range or short-range missile that will deliver these warheads. We also understand that Russia has great need and interest in the Middle East. And the Bible talks about Russia in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. It is titled the 38 and 39 War. You see, what will happen if Israel retaliates against Iran? Iran will have no choice but to call upon Russia. Russia will come into a pact with Iran and the Arab League. And I don't have time to go through all the scriptures to show you, but Persia in the Bible is modern Iran. Tubal and some of those other nations that are mentioned in Zechariah and Ezekiel, these are the Arab nations that we know today. They will form a coalition, and Russia will come from the north and invade Israel. Now listen, if that were to happen, and it could happen within months. You say, well, what do you mean it could happen in months? And again, I'm not here to instill fear because we're going to finish this message in great victory, all right? But I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want us to have our heads in the sand to understand the seriousness of the moment in which you and I live. That we really have got to get over petty things in the church like she didn't or he didn't shake my hand. Or I don't understand why they didn't call me to sing. You know, are you really serious with the events that we're facing in a nation like this at such a time and you're concerned about somebody shaking your hand or a parking place or where you sit in the church? I mean, come on, somebody. Isn't this a time when we need to be the salt and the light of this generation? This is the season and this is the time and this is the moment. But you see, what will happen is I believe, as well as John Hagee believes, and many other military analysts around the world believe, that if Israel retaliates in a preemptive strike against Iran, and Iran and Russia begin to invade Israel. Now, that's not Armageddon. That's the precursor to Armageddon. We'll get to Armageddon hopefully today. But that's the precursor to it. You say, well, what will take place? More than likely, it's my opinion, America will not get involved. We are already war-weary from Iraq. More than likely, we're going to have a Democratic president next time. And the Democratic presidency will probably be soft on military power and offensive. It's not going to be another George Bush. Right or wrong, whether what he did is right or wrong, I don't know. I'm not a political analyst. I'm just a preacher. But I'm telling you this, more than likely, America will not have the will and the strength based on what we've done in Iraq and the losses that we're facing. Over 2,000, some 500 men and servicemen and women have died, and we're just tired of it, and they're marching in the streets calling for the destruction of America, and we're there trying to protect them. People are going, what's wrong with this picture? And Israel is going to be on its own. Great Britain is not going to support them in this fight against Russia and its Arab allies. So then how in the world can Israel ward off Russia and all the Arab allies? And the Bible tells us simply this, that it will be God Himself who will save Israel. Woo! Hallelujah! God Himself, all by Himself. Hallelujah! The Bible says it'll happen three ways, just like it did in old ancient Israel's times. Through an earthquake, through the sword against his brother, and through fire and brimstone raining down from heaven. In other words, when they converge against Israel, and they are about to take her out, God will show up with an earthquake and swallow them up. God will show up with fire from heaven and begin to consume them. And they will get so confused, they'll start fighting one another. You see, Russia has a motivation, and their motivation is for them to regain superpower status again by controlling the oil of the Middle East. So today, we as a nation need to pray. The Bible says that in that war, there'll be so many dead, it'll take Israel literally 7 months to bury them. The Bible says that only 1/6 of Russia's power and people will be left. That means that every 5 out of 6 people will be dead that came against Israel. It'll take 7 months for Israel to bury them. Now, some say that the Antichrist will be revealed before the Ezekiel 38:9 war. Some say it'll happen right after. I don't know. All I know is I'm reporting the facts and the news as I read them. You'll have to form your own opinion. You say, well, what's my opinion? I believe right now my opinion is that the Ezekiel war can take place before the rapture. However, I'm very open and asking the Holy Spirit to show me that it could happen right prior. But let me ask this question. Whether it happens before the Ezekiel war or after the Ezekiel war, how close are we to either? It could happen today. While we're sitting here in church, it could be happening right now. Iran could begin to launch its nuclear weapons, or Israel can begin to launch its preemptive strike. It is already on the books. The United States has just delivered over 5,000 megabombs to Israel to protect itself against a nuclear strike. The United States have also offered to Israel ground-penetrating bombs that can literally go, what's the miles, Tina? 3-4 miles into the earth. They have just, an arsenal of these weapons have been delivered to Israel. We are on record, and the Arab nations hate Israel, I mean America, and are calling for our destruction. Why? Because they know that we stand with Israel. Let me just make this statement. If you as a Christian have turned your back on Israel, if you believe that God no longer has a plan for the Jewish people, I believe, just my opinion, you are misinformed. Need to go back to God and ask the Lord, Father, do you still have a plan for Israel? Show me the plan. I must pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Genesis 12, 2 and 3 says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Christians today are already beginning to boycott Israeli products, Israeli companies. They're beginning to boycott in defiance to share with them. And even recently, a Hollywood individual came forth with statements that Israel is responsible for the wars that are in the world. And this anti-Semitism is beginning to grow even among evangelical born-again believers. But it's a time for the true remnant of God to declare, I shall not be defeated and I will not quit. I'm going to stand with the Word of God regardless of what it looks like, because I know the Word works. And if Joel prophesied it thousands of years ago and it came to pass, I know that what he declared is going to come to pass as well, because I walk by faith and not by sight. The second advent of Christ, these nations will come against Israel. And the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 to 9, of which I do not have time to read, but you can see it there on the screen. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Same day as Joel 1:15. Same day as Thessalonians we read earlier. And he says, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken. The house is riffled and the women ravished. Half the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. I have to read it because I just felt the Holy Spirit said to do it. And in that day, his feet will stand in the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. That's his second coming. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it shall move toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. That's me. And it shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light, and the lights will diminish. In that battle of Armageddon, when the nations gather against Israel, just as they are about to annihilate Israel, after the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, after we have been raptured and we're in heaven and we are poised on our white stallions to come back with Jesus and to break that eastern sky, the Bible says there shall be darkness. There shall be no light. In other words, when they're about to turn on their artillery, when they're about to push the buttons for their nuclear bombs, when they're about to move their offensive, God says, all right, enough. And he turns the lights out on the earth. The Bible declares to us as we read the Hebrew that the darkness will be so dark a man or a woman will not be able to see their hand in front of their face. And the nations will come to a stop. It'll come to a halt. And that which Israel had cried out to God, in that moment, Israel, the remnant, will cry out to God, Lord, save us. And I believe today, you may be living in darkness. You may be living in a dark time. But if you, like Israel in that day, will cry out to God, Lord, save me. He'll come right where you are, whether it's in sickness or whether it's in poverty or whether it's in pain or whether it's in a hospital room or wherever you are right now, call upon the name of the Lord and ye shall be saved. The Bible tells us that in that day, Israel will call out to God, "Save us!" And darkness will cover the earth like never before. And there'll be a hush and there'll be a silence, and all the military powers and might and the Antichrist himself will have to stand still. And suddenly the vultures will gather, according to Matthew 24 and 28. The nations will be surrounded in Israel to destroy her. But the Bible says that the sky will go black. The sun will refuse to shine. And the moon will be darkened in that day. And at that moment, oh, glory to God. Just like Matthew chapter 24 and 25 talks about. In that moment, when the sun refuses to shine and the moon has grown dark and the sky has become black, in that moment, the Bible says, there shall be the coming of the Lord. What shall happen? It says, like lightning from the east to the west shall come the Lord himself with a sword in his mouth and a vestment, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he shall come to the earth and his saints shall come with him. Shout, that's me. Shout, that's me. Woo! And in that darkness, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. There won't be one eye that won't behold him. There won't be one nation that won't declare it. There won't be one dictator in power. And the Antichrist will be destroyed by the word of his power. Just like today, if the devil has assailed you, if the powers of hell have come against you, take your word, put it in your mouth, and declare it against the devil. For what will work in that day will work in your day. Because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you shall fall in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Listen to me now as my time is up. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 6 and 16, during that day, the nations will cry out. They'll cry to a rock and to a mountain and say, "Fall on me, kill me," and death will be taken from the earth, and no man can die. There'll be great turmoil and outpouring of wrath of God as we read through Revelation. But the Bible says in that day they will seek to die and none will be able to. But in Matthew 25, 31 to 33, every nation will stand before him. And he will separate the sheep from the goats. He will separate the wheat from the tares. Some that have looked like it but really weren't. Some that professed it but really didn't possess it. That day will begin to see. God himself has been holding back because of grace. Because of his love for you and me and the nations of this world. Matters not the ethnicity or the color of your skin. Matters not your background or how many times you've cursed God or what you've done to others or put in your own body or put in theirs. God still loves you. But that day you'll stand before him. The Bible says that there will be a great tribulation. Daniel 9, 24 to 27 talks about the 3.5 years. There will be a peace deal made and then the Antichrist will betray his peace. But the Bible quickly tells us that in that tribulation, you can be saved. And so with great hesitation, with great reverence and respect for every man and woman in this room, and those that may ever hear this tape, and this CD, if you or someone you know go through the Ezekiel war, and then into tribulation, the announcement of the great peacemaker from the European Union, and you're there to read the paper and watch the morning news as you run on your treadmill, and you remember the words of this preacher, I want you to think of one thing. God himself, in his mercy, will raise up 144,000 Jewish evangelists. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm sorry. I don't want to disappoint you. But they will begin to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. God himself, the Bible says, will raise up 2 witnesses. That will preach the word of the Lord and lie dead in the streets for 3 days and be resurrected as a testimony against them. listen to them, hear what they have to say. Listen at this moment that you said no to Christ, but on that day, don't say no again. The Bible says that in the first time in the entire history of Scripture, the angels will begin to preach the gospel during that tribulation. God's going to pull out all stops. He's pulled out all stops for you today. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening to this CD. It's not by mistake. It's because somebody loves you. Somebody cares about you to tell you the truth about these end times, not to live for yourself, not to be confused about tomorrow, but to know in your heart of hearts that there's a plan called eternity, and it's with Christ. And the Bible says, in that day, Matthew 24:17, those that endure the end shall be saved. That scripture has nothing to do about you and me today. This is not enduring. But in tribulation, when you give your life to Christ, you endure to the end and you shall be saved. But you don't have to wait till then. You can be saved today. You can be saved this morning. You see, at the first coming of the Lord in verse 1, the day of His coming, Christ will come for His saints. At the second advent of the Lord, in the brightness of His coming, He will come for unbelievers. The first group will be believers caught away to heaven. And the second coming, it'll be unbelievers caught away to hell. Hell is a very real place. God never created it for mankind. He never had it intended for you or I or any of our family to go there. And today, all we need to say is, Lord, save me. My final words this morning. The whole world is arming itself. North Korea and Iran have come into pact together. Syria, the Hamas, the Hezbollah, the Al-Qaeda. But God in His mercy gave us the book of Joel thousands of years ago that we would not be ignorant. God in His mercy gave you this sermon. As inadequate as maybe it might have been, God gave you this word. God gave you this season because He loves you and wants you to be a part of His plan. God gave you Fox News and CNN that He might warn this generation of the impending doom. My final question to us this morning is simply this. Are you rapture ready? If Christ were to come today, are you ready to go? Or would you stay on this earth? Every head bowed and every eye closed. He's a holy God. He's a mighty God. He's a real God. Suddenly, in the light of all these truths, our stuff means little, doesn't it? So I'm asking, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, and you're thinking and pondering your own life with Christ for eternity, to either receive Him or reject Him, to understand the plan of God and that God in His mercy brought you here this day in August, that you can receive Christ and be a part of the great plan of God. You've never received Christ as your Savior. You've never acknowledged God in your life. You say, Pastor, I want to do that this morning. Would you pray for me? If that's you, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want you to get ready. This is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Throw your hand up if that's you. Say, pray for me, Pastor. I need that prayer. I need that prayer. You can put your hands down. Those of you that are here this morning as well, you say, Pastor, I've been part of that group that you talked about earlier. I'm just kind of loosely connected to the kingdom. I'm really not tied in like I know I can be. Pray for me. I need to make a change, and I declare today that I will, and I'll never live my life the same again. I'll never go backward. I'll never cool off for Christ again. I'll fully embrace His plan for my life. If that's you, on the count of three, no one looking around. 1, 2, 3. Throw your hand up and put it back down. Everybody stand. Come on, lift your hands up. Sing that song. It's You, Lord. Come on, give Him all the worship. Give Him all the praise. Give Him all the glory. All creation. Come on, give it to the Lord. They're going to bow. We might as well bow now. Can you bow now? Come on. bow before the Lord. We acknowledge your sovereignty. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up some praise to God in this house. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. Today we prepared communion. I believe this is a great time to reaffirm your faith with Christ, your confidence in his kingdom, and your love for one another. We prepared it a little differently today. We've got three stations on the north wall. We've got three stations on the south wall. We've got stations in the middle. And over here on these speakers on either side. So this side, we're going to ask that you would take advantage of the north. This far section to the south. And the middle to the left and right. But today, let's keep our garment, lest we walk naked and he see his shame. I want you to live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next time, Thursday night. We love you in the Lord. Come on, let's take communion today.